My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Well, today we have the second installment of Matthew's Farm Report. When I was a kid, I used to go to my grandfather's farm, and he'd get up very early in the morning, and I'd hear his tractor putting out there, and he would work till about noon and then come in for dinner, and it was dinner. I mean, it was a full course, big meal, middle of the day. And then he would turn on the radio, and we'd have to listen to the farm report, how much pork bellies we're going for. And we always thought that was really funny as kids, pork bellies. We thought that, you know, was hilarious. But in Matthew's farm report, it seems that someone has planted weeds in the master's field. Last week, we had the parable of the different kinds of soil. You see, Matthew, he was really a very organized guy. He has all of the miracles of Jesus in one spot, followed by all the parables of Jesus in another, very categorized. Well, the master says, I mean, when the laborers come and say that someone's planted a weed or weeds in his field, kind of indicating, did you do this? Well, the master, of course, says no. He certainly did not plant weeds with the good seed. And yet they are there. It's a fact of life that there is both evil and good coexisting together. Well, the laborers are anxious to fix it, get those weeds out of there. But the master has a more relaxed approach. He says, well, give it some time, let them grow up together, because you might destroy some of the good seed when you're pulling out the bad seed. In the end, I'll take care of those weeds. Don't worry about them. Well, it's probably not the way most of us would handle it. We're more like the laborers. What's amazing is that this parable still speaks 2,000 years later, I think. But just the other day, Mike Fessenden and Carol Bodbile were out front, and Carol was identifying for Mike the weeds out in the garden out front, and so he would not hit them with weed killer. We don't like weeds, especially big ones. We don't want them taking over our garden. Well, Matthew's concern isn't really weeds and farming. His concern was his church community. Apparently, some evil had been sown there along with the good. Most communities have both. He didn't want the bad seed to take over the good. I had a similar situation in one of my former churches. We had had a congregational meeting that went rather badly. Some people behaved inappropriately. Some other people said some things that weren't very helpful. Fortunately, someone had the wisdom to say, let's table this issue for a time. And we decided to spend the next 8 weeks in prayer. We spent at least 5 minutes in silence in our worship services in order to pray for unity for the congregation. And what happened was, it worked. God worked within our hearts, and people were being much kinder to each other, they were listening to each other, and when we came back together, we were able to address the issue at hand in a much calmer fashion. God often has a lot more patience and tolerance than we do. We as a society are not very patient these days. I think of the prayer, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Those who believe themselves to be wheat in a flurry of overconfidence often go to work cleansing the field. And then they're surprised when the weeds pop up again. We are called in this parable to resist the temptation to think that we are the judge. Only God can sort out the tangled roots that reveal the true wheat from the false, and he will do so on the last day. God does not say to simply let the, ignore the evil and let it will go away, but only God is the righteous judge and can tell one from the other. Judgment is necessary to vindicate those who are good, but it will all be done in God's time, not in ours. Note that the parable is clear that God did not have some larger plan in mind and plant the evil for the good of the wheat. So often we want to explain the presence of evil in that way, as if it was part of God's design. When the cancer comes back, or the relationship ends, or the job goes away, we want to make someone feel better by saying that it's all part of God's plan. But in this reading, it's very clear that this is not part of God's plan. God did not plant evil and does not want us to suffer. He sent his only son to prove that. We do not know where evil comes from, but we do know that God defeated it on the cross. So even though evil does exist, and we have to acknowledge that the kingdom of heaven is not here yet, evil does not have the last word. God does in Christ's death and resurrection. As St. Paul writes, God works for the good in all things for those whom he loves. But here's the hard part. The wheat and the weeds exist together in all of us. In our own hearts, those roots are tangled together. Melody Eastman writes, every single one of us is a deeply rooted, earthy mess of intertwined good intentions and bad outcomes, broken desires and unexpected blessings. While you might be able to tell on the surface which is which, when you dig down to the root causes of your own choices and actions, you can't even begin to tell where the bad motives begin and the good ones end. Well, that's a little scary, isn't it? No wonder we want to lay judgment on other people so we don't have to look beneath the surface of ourselves to see what's going on. There again, judgment plays a role to help us to know what our part in the sin is, and also to keep us humble. Who doesn't identify with St. Paul's words in Romans 7? I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law or judgment is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. Now, he's not using that as an excuse. It's just the truth. It's like a tug of war that goes on inside us sometimes. There are sins that we can get really addicted to. About the time we think we've eradicated them, there they are, popping up in our face again. Often, we can be the harshest judge of all on ourselves. We begin to fear that we're not good enough to deserve God's love, and that in the end, that fiery furnace might be for us. But, and this is the big but, thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. God has already conquered sin and death with the love of Jesus, our Savior. Again, quoting from Romans 5, while we were still sinners, and we've used that in our confession these last several weeks, while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross implies that evil does exist, but it is not strong enough to defeat God's love and God's commitment to staying with us, even through the worst circumstances, even beyond death. The God we long for in the midst of our sinful and broken world is a faithful God, a loving God, a victorious God who holds true to his promise to save us. He gives us the grace of time to turn back to him, to change our ways, to use our lives responsively toward our neighbors, and to even extend God's grace to ourselves. Despite all our troubles and fears, God loves us and is forever faithful to us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.